Good evening. Welcome to our Wednesday evening service here on the 6th of May, 2020. Still lockdown. Hopefully our last Wednesday service before we can have church again, but we'll trust the Lord on that. We are walking our way through the Gospel of John, and we are up to chapter 7. Last week we finished chapter 6, Jesus' discourse on the bread of life, the reaction of the majority of the disciples who walked away from him because of the discourse, and then Peter's beautiful declaration, "To whom shall we go? Thou hast the words of life." Chronologically speaking, as you talk about all the Gospels, in between chapter 6 and 7, the transfiguration took place, which is quite fitting, because only the 12 stayed with Christ, and that was when he then took the three inner circle up onto the mountaintop and was transfigured before them. That particular event's not recorded in the Gospel of John, but chronologically speaking, that's what happened after the majority of the disciples walked away. And then after the transfiguration, we find ourselves here in John chapter 7. So we're going to look together at the first seven verses of John. The Bible says, "After these things, Jesus walked in Galilee, for he would not walk in Jewry, because the Jews sought to kill him. Now the Jews' feast of tabernacles was at hand. His brethren therefore said unto him, Depart hence, and go into Judea, that thy disciples also may see the works that thou doest. For there is no man that doeth anything in secret, and he himself seeketh to be known openly. If thou do these things, show thyself to the world. For neither did his brethren believe in him. Then Jesus said unto them, My time is not yet come, but your time is always ready. The world cannot hate you, but me it hateth, because I testify of it, that the works thereof are evil." So Jesus said, "Me it hateth, because I testify of it." And that'll be our title this evening here in John chapter 7. Lord, bless your word now to our hearts. May we learn and may we grow. May you guide us in your truth. May you be honored by this time. May you be pleased with this message. And may it come straight from you to our hearts. And so we give it to you and love you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So as we see here, Jesus there was reminded that in verse 1 that says the Jews sought to kill him. So Jesus is not that far into his ministry, and already the Jewish leaders want to kill Jesus. Why did they want to kill him? Not because he had done anything wrong, but as he explained here, because of his message. If you go to chapter 5 and verse 16, we'll get a bit more background on this. Chapter 5, verse 16, it says, "And therefore did the Jews persecute Jesus and sought to slay him because he had done these things on the Sabbath day." So one of the things that they were upset about was that Jesus Christ was breaking their traditions. And then if you look in chapter 5, verse 18, the Bible says, "Therefore the Jews sought the more to kill him, because he not only had broken the Sabbath, but also said that God was his Father, making himself equal with God." So another reason that they sought to kill Jesus was because of his declaration of his person, that he claimed to be the Son of God and often claimed even to be God himself. Then if you go over to chapter 7 and verse 19, so our chapter this evening, "Did not Moses give you the law, and yet none of you keepeth the law? Why go ye about to kill me?" So Jesus was also very honest with them about their sin. Over in chapter 8, verse 59, the Bible says, "Then took they up stones to cast at him, but Jesus hid himself and went out of the temple, going through the midst of them, and so passed by." Why did they take up stones to cast at him? Verse 58, "Before Abraham was, I am." So there was a clear declaration that Jesus Christ is Jehovah. And that was another reason why they wanted to kill Jesus. So they sought to slay him because he was breaking their traditions. They sought to slay him because he had declared his person. And they also sought to slay him because he had been honest with them about their sin. If you go over to chapter 10 and verse 33, the Bible says, "The Jews answered him, saying, For a good work we stone thee not, but for blasphemy, because that thou, being a man, makest thyself God." So they considered it blasphemy that Jesus Christ claimed to be God. But of course, it would be if he wasn't, but he was God. So they rejected that. And then let's go to chapter 19 of John. This is when Jesus Christ is going through his trials. And notice what Pilate said here in verse 15. But they cried out, "Away with him, away with him, crucify him." Pilate saith unto them, "Shall I crucify your king?" The chief priests answered, "We have no king but Caesar." So this is where the trials are over and the Jews finally decide, yes, we want Christ to die. And they admit that they do not want Jesus to be their king. How sad. One other verse, Matthew chapter 27. If you want to turn back there in verse 25. Matthew chapter 27 and verse 25. The Bible says that, "Then answered all the people and said, His blood be on us and on our children." They were willing to make that sort of a declaration at the crucifixion of Jesus Christ and said, "His blood be on us and on our children." And of course, that was prophetic as well. So Jesus Christ here is not surprised here in John chapter 7 that the Jews seek to kill him. And it's not because of any wrongdoing, of course. He was sinless, but because of his message. His message about himself, his message about God, and his message about the sins of the Jewish people. Now, we have this little break in the passage where his own half-brothers in the flesh speak to him. They say there in verse 3, "Depart hence and go into Judea, that thy disciples also may see the good works that thou doest." So here they are trying to give Jesus advice. Because, again, they're his half-brothers. They have to share Mary from an earthly point of view as their mother. And it says there in verse 4, "There is no man that doeth anything in secret, and he himself seeketh to be known openly. If thou doest these things, show thyself to the world." So they're basically saying to Jesus, go into Judea and make it clear who you are and what you're doing, which he's already been doing. But they think that they can somehow help him in his ministry. But it says in verse 5, "Neither did his brethren believe in him." So on the one hand, they're giving him advice, but not even his own half-brothers in the flesh believed in his person. How sad. Good news is they eventually did believe. They eventually came around. If you go to Acts chapter 1 and verse 14, we'll see this. This is in the upper room on the day of Pentecost. It says, "These all continued with one accord in prayer and supplication with the women and Mary, the mother of Jesus, and with his brethren." So we see here that eventually, after the crucifixion, we find that his brethren had believed, and they were actually involved there on the day of Pentecost when the Holy Spirit came down and filled them. But it's an example of, if you go to Mark chapter 6, this is an example of what Jesus told us. He said that our family would be the hardest to reach. They were there because they know our person, they know our background, and often they're the hardest to reach with the gospel of Jesus Christ. Notice Mark chapter 6, "Then Jesus said unto them, A prophet is not without honor, but in his own country, and among his own kin, and in his own house." So he's saying that a prophet will have the hardest time being heard and believed in his own house and among his own kin and in his own country. So we see here that his own brothers in the flesh didn't believe and were trying to give him advice, but we see that the Jews sought to kill him. So back to our passage here in John chapter 7, and we also saw the reasons why the Jews sought to kill him all through the New Testament. But notice that down in verse 6, Jesus' answer, "My time is not yet come." What did he mean by that? He meant that it wasn't time for him to die for man's sins yet. If you go to chapter 8 and verse 20, Jesus said, "These words spake Jesus in the treasury as he taught in the temple, and no man laid hands on him, for his hour was not yet come." He knew the hour was coming and it was all planned out, but it wasn't there yet. And then if you go to John chapter 13 and the verse 1, the Bible tells us here, again, in the upper room. "Now before the feast of the Passover, when Jesus knew that his hour was come, that he should depart out of this world unto the Father, having loved his own which were in the world, he loved them unto the end." So Jesus Christ loved his disciples He loved them unto the end. He even loved the Jewish people unto the end and prayed from the cross, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. So Jesus Christ here is being hated by the Jews. And we see the many reasons why. But Jesus gives us the main reason. And that's here in John chapter 7 and verse 7, which is the main reason why the world hates Christians today, as we're going to study. So notice John 7, 7, the world cannot hate you, but me it hateth, because I testify of it that the works thereof are evil. It comes down to sin. The world hates Jesus because Jesus represents righteousness. And when we look at our Creator and understand His holiness and His righteousness, it reveals our sinfulness. And when our sinfulness is revealed, we have a choice to make on how to respond, with contrition and repentance, or with a hardened heart and choosing to willingly be ignorant of our Creator. Now, the Bible reveals this over in John chapter 3, if you want to turn there, in verse 19. John chapter 3, verse 19, the Bible tells us, this is the condemnation, that light has come into the world, and men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. Men don't hate the light because the light is worthy of being hated. They hate the light because the light reveals their darkness in their hearts and in their lives. And then let's look at a couple more. Go to John chapter 15 and verse 22, where the Bible, Jesus here, he says, if I had not come and spoken unto them, they had not had sin, but now they have no cloak for their sin. Jesus said, I've come on the scene, I'm God, I've preached, and I've revealed that they're sinners and they need God. They need to repent. And he says, they can't hide anymore. The truth has been revealed. Now they have a choice to make. And on down in John 15, look in verse 24. If I had done among them the works which none other man did, they had not had sin. But now have they both seen and hated both me and my Father. But this cometh to pass, that the word might be fulfilled that is written in their law, they hated me without a cause. That was prophesied in the Old Testament, that they would hate Jesus Christ without a cause. That was in Psalms 35. And Jesus is saying it's coming to pass. So, sin. Sin is the problem. Notice down in chapter 7, verse 19, did not Moses give you the law, and yet none of you keepeth the law? What's he saying there? He's saying every one of you is a sinner. And of course, that's what the Bible says, isn't it? All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And so as we think about this, we can now understand why the world hates Christians. They don't hate Christians because of who we are. They hate Christians because of who we represent and because of the message that we represent. And we see this manifesting itself in the early church even. So let's look at some examples. Go to Acts chapter 5, and we'll start with Peter. After Peter preached this amazing message in Acts chapter 5, look at the response. Acts chapter 5, look at verse 33. It says, and when they heard that, they were cut to the heart and took counsel to slay them. So yes, they were cut to the heart. They were convicted by what Peter said. But rather than respond with repentance and wanting to get right with God, they respond by wanting to kill Peter. How sad. Then we see it in Acts chapter 7, verse 54, with Stephen, one of the first deacons. Verse 7, 54, when they heard these things, they were cut to the heart, and they gnashed on him with their teeth, and we know that they then stoned Stephen to death. For what? Preaching. Preaching about sin and in God's righteousness. And then Paul, Acts chapter 22. So these are just some examples, but Peter, Stephen, Paul, Acts chapter 22, look at verse 22. The Bible says here, they gave him audience unto this word, and then lifted up their voices and said, away with such a fellow from the earth, for it is not fit that he should live. This is when Paul was defending himself. They say, we want him killed. For what? For the things that he said. For declaring that man is sinful, and that God is righteous, and that the only way to God is through repentance. So, what about us? Where do we stand in all of this? God tells us, if you look at Ephesians chapter 4, verse 15, that we need to speak the truth. We have a responsibility given to us by our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, to tell the world the truth. Ephesians 4:15, speaking the truth in love. So we need to tell the truth. We need to do it in love with a loving spirit. But the world needs to know the truth. The truth is, all have sinned to come short of the glory of God. The truth is that the wages of sin is death. The truth is that hell is real. The truth is that man is going to hell if he does not get saved. That there's not salvation in any other. For there's none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. The truth is that Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life, and no man cometh unto the Father but by him. We need to be telling the world the truth. And the truth is they need Jesus. But when we tell them this, we can't tell them this without talking about sin and why they need a Savior. They need saved from something, and that is sin and its consequences, which is hell. And oftentimes the response of the world isn't going to be what we want it to be. It's often going to be with hate, as we see here. Jesus said, he explained why they hated him. Why? Because I testify of it, that their works are evil. When we present the gospel, we have to start with sin, just like he did with the woman at the well, as we saw there in John chapter 4. We have to start with sin. Why did Jesus die on the cross? Because man's a sinner. Why did Jesus become a man? Because we're sinners. Why did Jesus rise from the dead? So that he could offer eternal life to sinners. It always comes down to sin. Calvary explains the need for salvation, but it also explains the cost of that salvation, which was the death of the perfect man and his blood. So, go to Luke chapter 6, and let's just look at some scriptures so that God encourages us in his word to be prepared for this sort of response that Jesus faced as his disciples. If you're saved, you're one of his disciples, don't be surprised if the world hates you when you tell them the truth. This is the way it works. Luke chapter 6, look at verse 22. Blessed are ye when men shall hate you. There's that word hate. When they shall separate you from their company and shall reproach you and cast out your name as evil for the Son of Man's sake. Now, if you're an obnoxious person and you're going around trying to get people angry at you, that's different. That's not what this is talking about. Because we're supposed to speak the truth in love. But if people hate you for the Son of Man's sake, in other words, if people hate you because you're doing the right thing, because you're promoting Jesus Christ through his gospel and telling people the good news of what he did, God says you'll receive a blessing for that. While you're in Luke, look down at verse 26. Woe unto you, and all men shall speak well of you. So we weren't left here on earth after our salvation to try to win friends and influence people and try to have everybody love us. We were left here to tell the truth. Now we're to love the lost. We're to love our brothers and sisters in Christ. We're to speak the truth in love. But we're not out to try to be popular and to win a popularity contest. We must tell the truth. Jesus didn't set out to win a popularity contest. He referred to the religious leaders as vipers, as serpents, as whited sepulchers, and so forth. He told the truth, and we must tell the truth. But when we do, go to John 15. When we do, we will face persecution. We will even face hate. But we shouldn't be surprised. Go to John chapter 15, verse 18, where the Bible says, if the world hate you, you know that it hated me before it hated you. If you were of the world would love his own. But because you are not of the world, but I've chosen you out of the world, therefore the world hateth you. We have a choice to make. Tell the truth or not tell the truth. God says if we'll tell the truth, the world's going to hate us. God says that if our goal is to the world to love us, then we know how to be like them. And the world loves its own. So we have a choice to make. Tell the truth or not. John chapter 17. Let's look at another one. In verse 14. I have given them thy word, and the world hath hated them. Jesus here talking about his 12. Because they are not of the world, even as I am not of the world, I pray not that thou shouldest take them out of the world, but that thou shouldest keep them from the evil. In other words, I pray that you'll protect them from becoming worldly, but I don't pray that you take them away, because the world needs them. They are the light of the world. They are the salt of the earth. But don't be surprised if the world hates you. Go to 2 Timothy 3:12. You know, we talk a lot about the promises in the Bible, just as the other promises about prayer and God's blessings are real. This promise is real too. Look what it says, 2 Timothy 3:12. Yea, and all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. If you're living godly in Christ Jesus, then you're telling the truth. People aren't going to persecute you because you're living a clean life. But they will persecute you if you tell them why you're living a clean life. Because you love Jesus. Because you repented of your sin and got saved. Because Jesus died on the cross and rose again for you. So think about that. And then go to 1 John chapter 3 and verse 13. 1 John chapter 3 and verse 13. Where the Bible tells us, marvel not, my brethren, if the world hate you. So all of these verses are consistent that we should expect the world to not love us because we tell them the truth. Jesus told the people of the day the truth. Peter told them the truth. Stephen told them the truth. Paul told them the truth. The world hated them. The world killed Stephen. The world eventually killed Paul. The world eventually killed Peter. The world hates the truth. They don't hate you. They don't hate me. They hate righteousness. They hate God. Not because of who He is, but because of what He is. That He is righteous and holy. And as we reflect upon the righteousness and holiness of our Creator, it points out the fact that we are unrighteous and unholy. Once that's become obvious to a sinner, there's always a choice to be made. Repent and come to God on His terms. Come to God on His terms of righteousness, which we'll actually talk about on Sunday school this Sunday, imputation. Or respond with anger and ignorance and say, I don't want to know. I don't want to talk about God. I don't want to know about God. Or I'm going to persecute God's disciples. Don't be surprised. Marvel not, my brethren, John said, if the world hate you. Jesus said, don't be surprised. He said to His disciples, don't be surprised if the world hates you, there in John 15, John 17. He says, me it hateth because I testify of it. And if the world hates you, it's because you've told them the truth and you've testified about the world's sin and the consequences of sin and the need to be rescued from the consequences of sin through the only one who can rescue us, the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. So marvel not if the world hates you. Jesus said, me it hateth because I testify of it, that the works thereof are evil. And we are following in the steps of our wonderful Savior. Hopefully you are, by telling the truth, speaking the truth in love, as it says in Ephesians 4:15, and marvel not if it hate you. But just tell the truth. And as Jesus said, if you get persecuted for it, rejoice. Rejoice. One day you'll be rewarded for it by our wonderful Father. So what a great truth. And let's be sure we tell the world the truth. Lord, thank you for your word. I pray we'll take this great truth to heart. And Lord, that we would tell the world of their need for Jesus, Lord, and of the sin and the consequences of sin and why Jesus had to die on Calvary. And Lord, we know that some will believe, some will get saved. We did. And Lord, the ones who don't, the ones who get angry, may we just rejoice and trust you. So thank you, Lord, for this example from our Savior's ministry and for His encouraging words. And we love you and pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you so much for joining us, and we'll see you Sunday morning, 10 o'clock. God bless.